On Tuesday, an Israeli judge ruled that the state of Israel was not responsible for the death of Rachel Corrie. Corrie, an international solidarity movement activist, was run over and killed by a military bulldozer in 2003 as she attempted to stop the demolition of a Palestinian home in the Gaza Strip. The judge said the driver of the armored bulldozer couldn't see Corrie in her bright orange vest as he ran over her. The wrongful death lawsuit was filed by Corrie's parents, who said a civil suit was no substitute for the legal investigation they never had. They also held the U.S. government partially responsible for the outcome, saying the diplomatic process between the U.S. and Israel had failed them. Simona Sharoni is an Israeli citizen and chair of the Gender and Women's Studies Department at the State University of New York in Plattsburgh. She worked closely with Rachel Corrie before she left for Gaza. Sharoni says she was not surprised by the judge's ruling.
I am nevertheless outraged because the message that it sent to the international community is a message that Israel, once again, is above accountability.
The United States government told the Corrie family in 2004 that there had not been a transparent investigation by the Israeli government of the entire incident. What was the role of the United States, or did the United States actively advocate on behalf of the Corrie family and one of our citizens who was killed by the Israeli Defense Forces?
The reaction was very mixed. I remember sitting with the Corries 2 weeks after Rachel was killed with the original tape from inside the bulldozer that actually included a conversation between the two bulldozer drivers. And one of the most difficult things I had to do was to sit there with the grieving family that basically heard the dialogue between those Russian new immigrants. They were not sure what they were doing, but it was very clear that at one point on the transcript of the tape, it said that she was dead. Now, those tapes that I translated, the tape that I translated, was a bootleg copy that was sent to me from Israel because the State Department promised that they will get an official translation of the tape, and that took months. So, you know, we looked at that, and what sets the Corries apart and allows us to understand who Rachel was is that they always would give even the most brutal person or government the benefit of the doubt. In the same way that Rachel believed that the bulldozer driver will stop when she looked him in the eyes, there was hope on the side of the Corrie family that maybe there will be a decent judge that will find some fault in how this was handled. It was the same faith that they put in the State Department. So occasionally a low-level person would say, I'm outraged, we're looking into it, we'll do our best. And I think the fact that they did not finally prompted the family to go with a civil suit. Of course, the U.S. is implicated. She was a U.S. citizen. No one other than the U.S. could hold Israel accountable for that. There were people from the State Department in the courtroom for the past 2 years. There was always a person there and made some statements of compassion off the record to the family. But there was never an attempt to hold Israel accountable on the part of the U.S. And this remains something that we, as citizens concerned with human rights violation globally and in our own country, we have to make sure that Israel is held to the same standards.
You knew Rachel Corrie. You spoke with her before she went to Israel. The judge in his ruling said she could have easily distanced herself from the danger like any reasonable person would. Do you believe Rachel Corrie was a reasonable person?
Oh, she was more than reasonable. I am teaching Rachel's book, Let Me Stand Alone, her journals, in my feminist theory class. I'm teaching it because one of our core objectives as a college is to educate students to become global citizens. If I would tell my students to be reasonable is not to care about human rights violations worldwide, I would not achieve the goal of cultivating global citizens. If you become aware of injustice in your backyard, in Palestine, or in China, and you feel compelled to do something about that, then you take what you learn and you apply it. We all have a Rachel inside us, whether we are activists or not, whether we are 65 or 16. That's the voice that tells us that we need to speak truth to power, that we need to say enough is enough when someone is mistreated. And as a teacher, to teach your students to care and then to have someone like Rachel who sat in my office, where I tried to convince her to go to Ramallah instead of to Rafah, because I had the illusion that she would be safer. And Rachel looked at me and said, I need to go to Rafah because people need to know what's happening there. And she, like many others, was concerned that under the pretext of the Second Iraq War, they will try to move on and remove many of the communities there and step up home demolitions. And she felt it was very important for her to go to Rafah. It was a very reasonable decision on her part. It was a very courageous decision. And it was a decision that I think did more to improve the image of the U.S. in the Middle East than any politician, any U.S. politician would have done. When I speak to people from the Middle East, and everyone knows the name Rachel Croy, for them, it means hope. It means that no matter what your skin color is and where you were born, when you have a choice, you could choose to stand up for justice, even if it means putting your body on the line. The good thing that will come out of this is that more people will learn not just how Rachel died, but most importantly, how she lived and how she learned to care about fellow human beings that have less power and privilege than she had.
Simona Sharoni is chair of the Gender and Women's Studies Department at the State University of New York at Plattsburgh, the lawyer representing the Corey family in their wrongful death lawsuit against the State of Israel, says he will appeal Tuesday's ruling to the Israeli Supreme Court.